Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira. And today we are just going to have a conversation. This season, we have taken on the challenge of reconstructing our views and engagement and relationships with faith. So we're just going to chat through it.
It's just a check-in.
So I'll begin.
Okay.
How you doing?
In my reconstruction,
yes,
I'm doing very well.
Okay, good.
Better than I ever expected. Since we started this podcast, you know, we've gone through changes. And, you know, I've gone back to school and gone back to church.
Yes.
And just had different experiences. And what's ironic is the way that I was at the beginning of this show,
okay,
with deconstructing things, asking the questions, why are we doing that? Why aren't we doing this other thing? Why are you interpreting it like that? Going to school kind of gives language to that. It not only validates or affirms those questions,
mm-hmm,
it also, in some cases, takes the questions further through critiques that I would have never arrived. But people have been thinking through this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in a way, you would expect over time that I would even be more distant in my faith, or at least from the religious structures,
right,
through going through that experience. The opposite has happened somehow. And so not being, you know, explicitly trained to do this, because I'm not, clergy has never been a track for me.
Okay.
So I don't take anything that would lead me down that road.
Okay.
But there's been an appreciation for lots of elements of this. So the art of writing,
mm-hmm,
that gave us the scriptures, knowing what that's like, knowing what they're doing, why they're doing it, what they get out of it, and how beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I increased in appreciation for the scriptures, not just the scriptures, text in general, sacred text in general, just seeing things as text, like,
right,
just seeing Dr. Asa Lee was here and he taught a class on the Black Theology and Social Critique of Spike Lee. And just to understand the movies as text and the ontological affirmations that Spike Lee is making through those films towards Black people,
mm-hmm,
like starting to be able to understand the different moves that they make, all of that has raised my appreciation for the art of it. Also the art of church. I never expected that because I didn't come for that.
Right.
I just never envisioned myself in a space like that. But seeing different expressions, knowing what that church has been,
mm-hmm,
and what it is and what it could be, idealistically, like, I'm like, we could get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could do this. We could do this together. And so the sacrifices that people make, you know, I'm in school with people who have given up successful careers to go do this and make no money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in school with women who are in denominations who have already displayed, the denominations have already displayed the ceiling where they're going to reach.
Yeah.
So they're there, they're doing the work, and again, you know,
it says a lot about faithfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These people, like teachers, they want to do it because they love to do it. They want to,
mm-hmm,
have that impact. It's not, and so seeing all of these things work together, I'm like, man, I got a different appreciation for what goes on in some of these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more inclined to give the benefit of the doubt that, oh, you know what? That person probably isn't making anything. They're probably paying out more than they're making. And they're just here. I wonder how long they're going to be able to do this for. So all of that has encouraged or strengthened the connection to faith in general. And it's not just a Christian faith at all. Like,
mm-hmm,
African traditional spirituality is huge.
Yeah.
Not just like on the campus and just in the experiences, but also in my own self-study and connections with other people. Like, that's been a healing part of this journey,
mm-hmm,
that I could not do without. And so, yeah, I'm feeling really good in terms of, because I'm able to construct stuff that makes sense now.
Right.
I'm able to make sense of the issues that I had. I'm able to articulate what my problem is with them,
mm,
and articulate a solution to, well, if that's not it, what is it? And propose that solution. Like, this makes more sense. why don't you try this? And I'm actually in a space where I can try to work through some of those things.
So do you think that's about the maturation of you on this, on your own personal path? Or do you think this is directly tied to you actually enrolling in school and kind of doing the intellectual exercises that has you looking at different issues or different situations?
It's both. I wouldn't have done this without school.
Okay.
But it's not for lack of trying. So before I went to school, I would still, when I couldn't get to school, I would still read the books.
Mm-hmm.
So like certain schools post their book lists online for their students to know which books to purchase that semester. I couldn't get to the class, but I could see those books. So I would read those. And that self-study has always been a part of my life and whatever, music or whatever. So yeah, I was doing that work, but I still couldn't get there on my own. Mm-hmm. And so school actually exposes me to different things that I wouldn't have found just mm-hmm. sitting, reading the material and digesting the material. Also, interacting with different people matters
a lot. Invaluable.
Yeah. I mean, my 11th grade year.
Okay.
I don't know if I told the story before, mm-hmm. but let's hear it again. I was playing in a band, a marching band that was supposed to go to France. And I needed to save up money for the trip. It was going to be in the beginning, the end of the summer, going into 12th grade. And so saving up my money for that summer, I couldn't afford to do anything else. So I stayed in the house and taught myself how to play the piano. And I actually got pretty good. But it wasn't until I actually got around some real musicians that I really started to improve.
Right.
So, yeah, I was good for the people I was around. But then I get into another sphere and like these people are incredible and I'm not.
Right.
So over time, I get closer to incredible. Now, if I were to take that back to the high school band room, oh, I would be crushing. I would be just destroying everybody.
Right.
But, you know, that's kind of how it was with school. Like just getting around other people. It's a lot of smart people and being able to understand, respect, you know, where they come from, their perspective. That's the other thing that I didn't really have. Like, you don't have a way to view someone else's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that causes me to slow down and be like, well, wait, I see it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Were I a woman, I may see it this way. Were I a black woman, I may see it this way. Were I from an Asian country, I may see it like this. Or, you know, those things help round out the views that I have. And so, yeah, it's a combination of both. That's the long answer to that question. But yeah, so how are you doing?
In a nutshell, I'm doing fine. I think that, so my experience is a little bit different. It's way more personal, way mm-hmm. more introspective. This has been a healing journey for me. And I'm getting to the point of just being comfortable with my path forward. I think I've really made peace with the past and with how I had to behave in the past, or how I was behaving in the past. I definitely had a moment of deep gratitude that let me know how far I've come on my healing journey.
You mean recently?
Recently, okay. You know, like January or so.
Okay.
I'm constantly reflecting. You study history, you're always looking back, and sometimes it's hard to train your mind to look forward, mm-hmm. but you can do anything when you do it with intention. So this was something that I put on my mind and heart, that I wanted to be more forward oriented and more interested in what's coming as opposed to what is, you know, passed away or no longer exists or anything like that. So that has been helpful because it's like I've looped back into something that's really important to me. My relationship with God is very important to me. And I've never felt like it was something that I had to subject to others for approval or clarification. So the things that I went through on my faith journey, I just said, I'm just going through it. You know, I was kind of open to that. But I wanted to heal in certain spaces because there's just something about the quality of this relationship. I don't like to quit. I don't like dysfunctional things. I value communication mm-hmm. and clarity. So even being involved with the podcast, you know, even starting a year after you did, this became a learning lab for me. It became a number of things, but most definitely a learning lab and a sanctuary mm-hmm. for me. And I had a moment where I could really see how much I've grown and gotten stronger and able to move forward and redefine and be comfortable with those new definitions of my engagement and my faith. So I'm not going to church as much as I might have thought I would mm-hmm. when we started this season, but there's always space for improvement. But improvement doesn't just mean racking up hits like I'm sitting in the pews. Improvement for me is making sure that I'm aligned with the body that reflects the theological values that I now have as far as inclusiveness, equity, mm-hmm. either centers my community or affirms my role within my community. When I came in, I had a lot to say about how women were treated in the church as members and also as workers, as holding formal roles in the church, and how our social status is viewed in various situations. And I think I've grown from that just being a critique only, because there's always room for reconciliation. And if that reconciliation doesn't call for you to vacate your common sense, that to me is just healthier. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am.
So you just described what you are now, how you see yourself now.
Yeah.
As you've grown, mm-hmm. your past self prior to this experience.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see it as maturing on the way? Do you see it as naivete? Do you see it as, you know, is there derision there in some area for some view that you held or something like that?
So I've definitely been challenged, you know, nothing has been set in stone, and there have been some things that were dislodged, just like scar tissue. So you got to get it out so you can grow. Mm-hmm. And I've had some things, like when we talk about brokenness, is some things were starting to, let's say, you want to say it's healing, but it's not healing correctly. Mm-hmm. So it has to be reset. So I have grown from these preconceived notions of what this might mean. What does it mean for me to be really in relationship mm-hmm. with myself? What is this relationship that I claim to have with God, and what is it made up of? And I see better how some of my bad habits in human relationships were showing up in what I said this ideal mm-hmm. relationship were would be. The challenge has been being able to work within myself to not carry bad habits forward, and to also give myself a lot of grace, because there were a lot of things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And as I've said, you know, in previous shows, if fear is what you're bringing to the table, you're not bringing your strongest self. So that's a challenge. You know, things scare us all the time. Things scare me all the time. Mm-hmm. But the challenge for me is to err on the side of trusting. And this was hard even when I was in, you know, formal discipleship programs. I don't trust nobody. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't trust things all the time. But intentionality has really made the difference. You know, not just saying, oh, it'll work out. Oh, things will get better. I want them to get better. How do they get better? What do I have to do for things to be better? And not all of those actions have been comfortable, but I have seen the growth. We've talked about relationship status and all this other stuff. Well, it's one thing to say, I don't know why things keep happening. You know, it's a whole nother animal to say, I recognize that this behavior has stopped. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I have grown in this way. Yeah. Right? I see a lot of that. So I'm not, is it, you know, I always bring up these things, like things I've heard in church, things that people be saying, but it's like, I'm not where I used to be. Mm. You know, I'm not where I should be.
Right.
But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. So it's a lot of that, because I was holding out for healing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just feel better. So for the benefit of those who listen to us, I'm talking about, I wasn't striving for having just a good day. Mm-hmm. I wanted to live a better life. So I would have good days And I would have not so good days. Times where you feel like you're bathing in sunlight and times where you're really flirting with how dark is dark. Some of that is experience based. Some of that is taking ownership over all different aspects of your health. So even for me, confronting anxiety and depression, these are important. I call it as it is because I don't want people to think that that is not a part of your journey. If you find yourself, you know, engaged and not engaged or feeling separated from, you might have to work on healing your heart, healing your mind, healing your vision so that you can live better, right? So not just a good day. Oh, I had ice cream today. Mm-hmm. No, I'm living a better life. I can have ice cream when I want, right? So that's what it's been like for me. And there are some new goals. It's hard to make goals when, or hard to set goals when you don't expect things to go well. So when you begin to do the foundational work so that you can want, and so that you can feel, and so that you can expect, these things minimize the fear in those transactions. So I've seen growth in that. Hmm. So for where we are, you know, right now, and just checking in, obviously to reconstruct means that there was a moment where we were deconstructing. So from kind of like what you just asked me, the questions that led you to critique and interrogate and maybe take a walk away from a certain path, now you find yourself reconstructing. How would you describe or measure those two disparate events?
How I was during deconstruction versus how I am now during reconstruction. Mm-hmm. Before, it was a lot of angst. It was more frustration. Now, part of it is me. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not, I don't do the same thing for too long, which is why when people say, oh, you're going to have a church, I'm like, no, I'm not. Because I will walk away from that church in like 2 years when I want to do something else that's right. more interesting to me. And I just always want to learn. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I want to say it's a healthy form of dissatisfaction.
Okay.
It's this type of thing where you want to just rearrange a room just because it's time.
Right.
And so where I was before, I had done church and different modes for so long. Mm-hmm. It was just getting frustrating to be there, to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And that frustration came out as critique. Mm-hmm. And the critiques were valid. Mm-hmm. But now I see more community where I originally saw critique. So every community will invite critique because mm-hmm. there's always going to be a space to ask the question, why are we doing it this way? Well, because that's what the community decided to do. That's what they decided to rally around. And so if you want to be a part of this community, then we're all talking about the same thing or we're all doing the same activity or whatever. Like, I didn't see it like that before. Like, African slaves didn't care as much about the Bible as they did about the fact that they're not beating us for these hours.
Right.
And we're together and they're leaving us alone.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter really as much what we do. It's the fact that we're together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, growing to understand those type of things, mm-hmm. I've softened a lot in terms of my critique.
Right.
And we've done a lot of work on this show. This is the first show that we've ever done, this episode, where we didn't have to study for it. Like, before every show, like, we're doing reading,
we are scholars, researching, y'all.
Like, I'm in the stacks. We're doing a whole lot of work to actually have a discussion, mm-hmm. which is, I hope, is a model worth repeating. I mean, we mm-hmm. are in this internet culture where we all just jump in with our opinions and as if, you know, even though we do have opinions all about right. things, we still want to make sure that these opinions are shaped by scholarship and things that actually, I mean, because we're not the first people to have these thoughts.
No, not at all.
And so through that preparation, I've changed a lot of views about, like, when we did the Sex in the Bible series, especially the queer theology episode.
Yeah.
Like, I had to learn a whole other theological discipline that I didn't even know existed mm-hmm. until we started preparing for that show. Now, we prepared for the show like months out, especially that one, because it needed to be right.
We didn't want to be trash.
Right. We still got a trash review, okay. But still.
We didn't want to be trash.
But, you know, things like that, like even in Echo Theology and just different shows that we've done, like I've just learned a lot by doing this. Like these are conversations that I would not have had. So I appreciate you being here with me to walk through some of these thoughts.
Because yes.
I mean, because I would be sitting at home thinking a lot of these conversations. Mm-hmm. And you actually frame them in a way that helps that makes sense to me. So, you know, people, when I describe the show to people, like, I'm the theology, you're the history. And those two things together actually inform the topic.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Excellent balance.
I've matured a lot and I'm a lot more mellow now in this reconstruction phase, because I'm not upset anymore. I'm not angry.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how understanding can diffuse anger that way.
Just
being able to articulate what it is that's bothering you, it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you?
So it was a lot of change going on in my life, and not all of those changes were ones that I wanted or ones that I anticipated. And you say angst, I had anger, I had sadness and feelings of either a lack of being understood or a lack of being fulfilled. I was really down to my bare bones. And when I say that, my foundation became very important, because the way that I am, I go back to what is familiar. You know, when things become unfamiliar, I'm looking for familiarity. So I had gone through a phase where I was really getting in touch with things that I felt like built up my foundation, not least of which was having a regular formal as well as informal engagement with church. What that grew into was, again, instead of having a good day and holding out for healing, I didn't want to have a good spiritual experience. I wanted a healthier and happier relationship with God. And that was the long draw. It was a lot of me taking apart what I brought to that relationship and that partnership. I used to say, Christ on the cross was not where I needed him to be. I needed him to come down and I needed to sit right next to me and have a very personal engagement with me. And I required that of whatever this relationship was going to become. I think I did that because I was holding on to the hope that the relationship could be repaired. This is true to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like losing things that I value along the way. And I was coming from a point of, like I said, you know, not trusting. So I said, wow, I gotta do all this work. Well, being able to do it through this particular tool, do it through the podcast and working with somebody who, so I'm the history and you're the seminarian.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I might get lost in what the timeline might say, the challenge and the confrontation and the exploration of the text and what do the scriptures have to say and what do these theological constructs have to say about how we understand God, that really helped grow and mature me, because you cannot constantly be in the position of the child having to constantly be fed and don't know how to farm and don't know how to fish and don't know how to discern and don't know how to arrive to your own informed conclusion about how this thing is supposed to go. What has happened for me is that I have reconstructed my idea of what it means to be in relationship. And that has been a huge healing in every aspect of my life, because I am relationship oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to heal in this space where I get to decide, ultimately, we all kind of get to decide who God is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to decide who he was going to be for me. I had to decide how I was going to now interact with the idea and ideal of Jesus. What is this going to mean for me? And I've definitely stripped away things that do not support this healthier and happier iteration of this relationship. I am open to things that support that. I require that the relationship be healthy. I require that it not be fraught with unnecessary suffering, right? Suffering happens, but I have definitely loosened the yokes that were not of God, that were around my neck, that were really making this not a good thing for me, right?
Yeah.
And that's part of reclaiming your power. The walk continues because I continue to mature. I continue to mature and I continue to understand that not so much that I could be doing more, but I have to just give him more space to operate, right? So things about promises kept. I remember I was thinking about something. I was like, wow, you kept every promise the way that I understood them. That I tried to subject myself to other people's understanding almost made me feel like you had betrayed me, right? But that's not what happened. You kept every promise that I had entrusted to you. I had to grow in my ability to perceive how that was happening, right? So it's just like, if I have a limited vocabulary, well, then I can't use these long flowing words to describe something very simple, but I might miss your meaning because I don't know how you're trying to communicate with me. Communication is so important. So it's like, I'm praying, but can I discern how you communicate with me? I'm not making it up. So when you say that where you saw critique, you now see community, where I might have seen things that look like abandonment, now I could see being set apart and being isolated, not for your punishment, but for your protection. And this is not subject to somebody else's understanding of that, but you have to know what your experiences truly are. You have to be able to tell yourself the truth, right? Where you say, oh, I was stripped of this affiliation or this association, but look at how it turned out over time. You could not have seen that coming. But if I believe in an all-seeing and all-knowing God, look at what you did for me long before I knew that's what you were doing. For me, that adds back some of the ideals of what I always wanted God to be in my life. I want him to light and illuminate a path. I want him to be a navigator. I want him to be a protector. I don't know. He has avenged me, right? But you can't be in avenge mode all the time,
right?
So he's been a God of peace for me. He's been a God of understanding and being understood. These are the major themes of this phase in my life. So I am ever grateful for being able to, I don't know, for lack of a better term, we boxed it out in here a couple of times, just gaining understanding over certain topics. And I think the fact that we did not settle for discontinuing our connection to something that is so important to our individual lives. So when you don't do that, when you don't settle for that, there's always something on the other side. There's always something on the other side of all that conflict. So I feel like, and it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You know, right now we're reconstructing, but life being that which it is, I anticipate that when this happens again, I'll have even more in my toolkit to be able to rebuild something even better in place of probably what I'm going to lose. Who knows what it'll be.
Yeah. So I just, before we get out of here, a quick note to the people who have followed us and stayed with us and taken this journey with us.
Yeah. We just need you to know that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's definitely grown far beyond that.
I'm always impressed. We're thankful. Yes.
I'm always humbled by the numbers that we get. But we just want you to know that this is something that we've been taking seriously for ourselves and for you. And that's why we put the work into the show that we do for every episode. And even in not just the episodes, it's kind of just like The Wire, where The Wire had an arc each season.
Yep.
And all seasons together tell one story. We wanted to make sure that for those who entrusted us to take this journey with us, that we weren't just leading you down a path of anger and frustration. That we actually do, we do consider where we end up.
Yep.
Our final disposition matters.
Yep.
And so we do want to hear from you. Like, how has your journey been?
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, you've been down the process of reconstruction, or you still in deconstruction. You like, right. I'm sick of all this reconstruction. We still need to get back to saber rattling and all that. Like, all of that matters. 'Cause
it all matters.
People are in different spaces at different times. Yeah. And
we have a body of work where if you find yourself having those types of days or asking those types of questions, you can go back to an episode when that's what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
But we also strive to be very authentic. And our most authentic selves is this. We're just not settling for things to be dysfunctional.
Right.
There has to be, not saying that there has to be, that you have to conform. There just has to be reconciliation. Mm-hmm. What is it going to be? So we want to be sure that just as sure as we open the floor to all of the critiques, that we open the floor to reconciliation. It is truly the heart of what I think Christian engagement is. You out here, you're doing everything, you're lunching. There's always space to be redeemed. There's always space for forgiveness. There's always space to achieve understanding. We just want to make sure we give parity to both.
So, yeah, let's hear from you. I mean, you can inbox us, hit us in the group. You can email us at faithuncut@gmail.com. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever method is most comfortable for you. For Faith Uncut, I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out